Philip Van Winkle has been in a study of the book of Jude. And now, here's Philip.
In Jude, verse 3, we read, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And so we begin our study today where we left off last time, and that is in verse 3, as we've been talking about the faith. And we said how we are children of God by the faith, that is, the whole system of faith that is presented in the Bible. So it says, "You're all children of God by the faith in Jesus Christ, by means of the gospel," he says that. And so in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, again, talking about the faith, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul writes, says, "Above all, take the shield of faith." But the original Greek language has the article "the" in front of it. And so we are to take the shield of the faith. You and I can defend ourselves from denominations. We can defend ourselves from, well, anything, by holding on to the faith. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." You find out if you're living according to the New Testament, according to what the Bible says. That is the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the faith, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the doctrine of Christ, they're all talking about the same thing. We also need to ask an important question, and that is, with all that we've seen, do we get the impression that this book, the Bible, is to be that which governs our lives? Don't you think that this book here is something that we need to abide in, that we need to walk by? Oh, it absolutely is. This book is a letter to tell of the wonderful love of God, but it is so much more than just a love letter. I understand when people say, well, the Bible is a love letter, and yes, it is. It's a love letter because it's a letter that talks about the love of Christ, the love of God. It's a love letter because He loved us enough to tell us what to do to get to heaven. So in one aspect, yes, absolutely, it is a love letter. But don't let's downgrade the Bible to make it just a love letter like you might get from your girlfriend, because it's so much more than that. It's a book that governs or controls the way that we are to live. It is the book that tells us how to get to heaven. And so it is much more than only or just a love letter. So we're talking about the faith. We're talking about the faith because it is this book, it is this Bible that produces faith. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein," notice, therein, in what? In the gospel, that New Testament, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In the gospel, he says, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, God's plan of making man righteous is revealed. The reason it is revealed the way it is so that it will produce faith. It comes from faith, and it produces faith. It is a faith-producing book. And so that's what he meant when he said, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And it says, "The just shall live by faith." And then he says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." He told the elders in Ephesus, he commended them to God, to the word of his grace. Notice, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Folks, we need to emphasize in this world that we live in that people need to live according to the Bible. There is so much being said today that you don't have to follow the Bible, but that is not what Jude tells us. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Earnestly contend for the faith. Look at this phrase again, "the faith." Now that shows us how many faiths there are. Sometimes someone might say, "Hey, Philip, what faith are you?" But the truth about the matter is, there is only one saving faith. It is the faith. Jude says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Well, which one, Jude? The one that was once delivered unto the saints. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, Paul writes, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord," notice, "one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Folks, you might as well talk about having many gods as to talk about having many faiths. You might as well talk about having many lords as to talk about having many faiths. We are supposed to all have the same faith, the faith that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all need to be teaching and preaching and believing and practicing the same thing, and those things are found out in the Word of God. Folks, we need to stand together with one mind, striving together for the gospel of Christ, the faith that was once delivered for all the saints. It is not unrealistic. It is not idealistic. Some preachers get up and say, "Well, it's just unrealistic to think that we're going to all agree on what the Bible says." Oh, that's just unrealistic. Well, what did Paul say? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Not only that, he says, "and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together," notice, "in the same mind and in the same judgment." Folks, there is one faith, and we need all to speak the same thing. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." In the American Standard Version right here, it says, "the faith which was once for all delivered." Well, we know what that means, don't we? Once and for all. That means it's not going to be delivered anymore. It was one time delivered. You know, for those of you who may have children, you probably have said to your child before, "I'm going to tell you one time and one time only. I'm telling you once and for all." Well, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you only one time, and it's going to be the last time. So the Bible says the faith is once for all delivered to the saints. That's it. I'm not going to tell you anything else. That is all. It's the last one. And so thousands of years later, a man named Joseph Smith comes along and he says, "Hey, wait a minute, guys, I have a new revelation." Well, if that's the case, then God lied. He didn't really deliver his message once for all. There's apparently something else that needs to be done. But Jude says, no, it is once for all delivered to the saints. The Pope of Rome comes along and he says, "Listen, I have received a vision from God, and God says that we should start doing this." No. The Bible still says the faith, that is the saving faith, has been once for all delivered to the saints. God's revelation has been made. It has been written down. It has been confirmed. It is complete. And folks, there will be no additions to it. This book is the completed will of God. Here comes some denominational preacher. He stands up before you and he says, "You know, God spoke to me this morning. He said you need to preach this such and such." Well, folks, he said no such thing. Now, if you're ever in a place where some preacher says, "God laid a message on my heart to speak to you this morning," and he begins to tell you of some dream, how that God came to him in a dream, and you mark it down, you're not going to hear very much substance that day. If he means by that, however, that God wants him to deliver a message out of his word, well, then that may be all right. But, folks, his completed revelation is right here in this book. He says, "It was needful for me to write unto you, to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Some of our brethren need to hear this. I often hear people say, "Well, the Spirit led me directly to do this. Oh, the Spirit led me to believe this." Well, folks, if He did, God lied. Because God said He has revealed the faith once for all. There's not going to be any more. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say it now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." It is once. It is for all. It is for all men everywhere. No direct operation, no special leading, no special Holy Spirit nudging. We have the Word. We have the faith. We need to ask another question. Where did the faith come from? Folks, there's only three possibilities. We're going to go through this very quickly. It could have come from bad men. It could have come from good men. Or it could have come from God. If it were from bad men, a man who claims to be inspired and is not lies. But a bad man would not condemn the very things that he does. And so a bad man didn't write the Bible. What about good men? If good men wrote it, they claimed it was from God, but it wasn't. That makes them liars, and therefore not good men. So the only option we have left is God. That's the only option. He's the author. He's the one who gave us His Word. You and I are to live by it and abide by it, and we can be saved.